Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from St. Paul's second letter to the young pastor Timothy, the fourth chapter, beginning with verse 1. And though he's writing here to a pastor, really the message is primarily for those who listened to the pastors. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. These are your words, Heavenly Father, they are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our Christian faith through them. Amen. My second year out of seminary, I happened to be attending a conference that dealt with youth work. It was in Indianapolis, and probably about 800 people there, and people of different denominations and things. And I happened to run into another young man about my age from another Lutheran seminary, a seminary that was known for not really wanting to stick to the things of the Bible. And he and I started to talk, and he found out where I had gone to seminary and felt that he and I would have a lot in common. And so he said, let's go have lunch together. So we sat down and had lunch, and he said, I have very Bible-based beliefs, and it doesn't fit in with the seminary where I'm attending. And I said, well, let me ask you some questions. I said, do you believe the Bible is the Word of God? And he said, I believe the Bible contains the Word of God. And I said, now you put the word contains in there. What do you mean by that? And he said, well, in the same way that the manger on Christmas night, the manger contained the Christ child, so the Bible contains the Word of God. And I said, so in other words, there was also hay and blankets and other things in the manger. Are you saying that in the Bible there are other things that really aren't the Word of God? And he said, well, yeah. I said, okay, let me ask you. So Genesis 1 and 2 and 3 talks about the creation of the world and talks about how man fell into sin and God's promise of a Savior that was coming. I said, what do you think about that? He said, well, I think that's kind of like a fable or a myth. I think it's kind of a fairy tale, if you will, to have people believe something. And I said, even though Jesus himself in the Gospels teaches it very clearly that this is truth, you're going to say that that's a fable and a myth. Yeah. And I said, now isn't it interesting? You thought that you and I would have a lot in common, but we can't even get past the first three chapters of the Bible and be in agreement. St. Paul, in the text in front of us, though he's writing to this pastor, is addressing an issue that he is prophesying is going to happen inside of the church, not just in his day, but throughout time, and is certainly very prevalent today. And that is that there's going to be a tremendous pressure on Christians, because of things going on in their culture, to leave Christ's teachings, to walk away from them, and to not want to really follow them. There's a pressure on those who claim to belong to Christ to not really want to be in agreement with what his teachings actually say. And they don't want to put up with it. St. Paul uses an interesting expression in the Greek words here. He says, hearers like this will heap up for themselves teachers. They're going to make it's a Greek word that means to make a big pile. You can find a huge pile of teachers and pastors out there that will tell you what you want to hear, in other words. A great big pile of people that don't really want to proclaim and teach what Christ himself says. It's very easy to find churches and pastors today that have bent away from the teachings of Christ in order to accommodate what society thinks, in order to try to agree with what the culture wants. And that's always been what the pressure is. Christianity, however, we must remember, is not Chipotle, where you get to go down the line and pick out the things you want and not take the things you don't want. Jesus says to those who preach his word, teach them to observe everything I have commanded you. At one point, he said this to those who were listening to his words but not really following them. He says, whoever belongs to God hears what God says. And the word hears there means to follow it. He says to this group that didn't believe him, the reason you do not hear or obey is that you do not belong to God. This is the deciding factor of whether or not a person is in his kingdom of grace or not, is whether they really hear his word and follow it or not. At one point, Jesus was talking to a group of his followers, and he presented them with a very difficult teaching, a very hard teaching about himself. And we're told that some of the people began to walk away, and they said to themselves, this is a hard teaching. It says, from this time on, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. And then Jesus turned to his 12 disciples and said, will you also go away? In other words, are you in or are you out? Are you in on this or not? And that's really the question put before us by our Lord, who's paid our entrance into heaven. Are you in this or not? This isn't a situation where there are gray degrees of Christianity. Either you're in it or you're not. That's a big question for our generation. Satan likes to nibble away at my faith. He likes to kind of find the edges where I'm uncomfortable with being a Christian. And he likes to pressure us to conform a little bit more to how the world thinks. Sometimes the teachings of Christ conflict with our reason. They seem to conflict with what science would tell us. Sometimes they conflict with the thinking of mainstream modern society, especially on moral, cultural issues. And those pressures can be very hard on young Christians. But you know what? That's not new to our generation. Maybe the intensity in certain places is a little different today, but it's not new to us. This is the way it's always been for Christians. Go back and study the history of the church. There's always been a pressure on believers in Christ to conform to the way society thinks. Talk to people today, alive today, Christians today, in other parts of the world who are facing physical persecution, and explain to them just how hard it is for you and me to face the kinds of persecution we face, and they would be more than happy to switch places with us. There are many hard teachings in Christianity. Let's be honest, there are. It's difficult for modern man to think about himself that we are so wicked and sinful inside that we could never do anything to get ourselves to heaven, that God had to do it all through the work of Christ, through the work of his Son, which he's done for every one of us. That's hard for us to take because it means a shot at our pride. It means humbling ourselves to have to learn of God's grace. It's also hard for us to have to deal with issues where maybe the thinking of modern man today is quite different than what God would teach us in his sacred word, especially in matters of morality. Listen to what Paul wrote to the Christians in Rome. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now, why should we not want to cave in and walk away from Christ? Well, here's why it's all worth it. St. Paul, writing to Timothy, gives us the long-term view of life. He says, here's why. Christ will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. That's why. That's why it's worth staying in this faith and putting up with all the difficulties and uncomfortableness that we feel, because Christ is coming back someday to judge the world and each one of us individually. So on that day, ask yourself, are you expecting an apology from Christ? Are you expecting Jesus to come to you and say, I don't know what I was thinking when I put that teaching in Scripture? I don't know what I was thinking. Your generation was so much smarter than God when he wrote that book. I just can't believe we put that in there. Could you ever imagine your Savior apologizing to you on Judgment Day for what His Word taught you to believe in and to follow? On that final day, nobody from your neighborhood will be standing there with you. On that final day, none of your friends will be standing there with you. No one from our culture will be standing there with you, not even your parents. It's just you and the Lord of the universe. But if you look at His hands on that day, He is the one who allowed nails to be driven through them on your behalf to make payment for every one of your sins, even the sins of our doubts and caving in to the world. He is the one who will be standing there in front of you, glowing in His holiness, the very same holiness that He gives to you by faith so that you can actually come into heaven someday. He is the one who will be standing there welcoming His believers into that throne above. And He's the one who says to you now, in your life right now, "Whosoever confesses Me before men, him will I also confess before My Father in heaven." Amen.